Tim, what were you thinking at halftime when the Buckeyes led 20-17? It held Michigan to 10 yards rushing, but had given up a couple of big pass plays.
How's my good buddy Jack Ebling doing, wherever he is right now? I wonder if he's watching. I wonder if he's seeing Ohio State, absorb some punches, some big haymakers, but still come out in the final analysis leading after the first 30 minutes of this classic, his 118th meeting of Ohio State and Michigan. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. And a lot of people were thinking, that Jim Knowles, what a genius, holding Michigan to 10 yards on the ground, team that runs the ball better in this series wins.
Yeah, of course it helps. It helps to stop a team from running the ball when they're not running the ball very much, you know.
What happened in the last 30 minutes?
Just like what happened last year, Ohio State got totally outplayed in the last half of the game and second half of the game. There's no doubt about it. And Michigan once again made plays. A star was born in Michigan annals by the name of J.J. McCarthy because he was the difference in the game, in my opinion, in all kinds of ways. But running the ball on top of the way he threw the ball on target, even though he only completed half of his passes, it just seemed like every other pass was just a "Are you kidding me?" moment. And you know, the way they threw the ball in the first half, which that's not what Michigan's supposed to do. But of course, Blake Corum only played about a handful of plays at that. I think he only had
carried
two carries.
Twice. Yeah.
So that was more symbolic. So he can say he played in the game. But just the way J.J. McCarthy took control of the game, made a first down when he needed it by running, made a first down when he needed it by passing, and then as the game went on, as I referred to him, when a team throws one or two haymakers, you go, okay, that's pretty good. But when they have five plays for a total of over 350 yards that all scored touchdowns, that's a day that's unusual. And that's exactly what Michigan did. And three of those were passes, as you well know. Two of them were runs. And, of course, J.J. McCarthy also had a keeper for a touchdown of about, 3 or 4 yards. But the bottom line was they just took control of the game in the second half. And Ohio State outscored Ohio State 28-3. That's a game in itself.
When a team has 349 yards.
Wait a minute, I thought of something.
Yeah.
This is what Ryan Day, they should be taking some solace in the fact that they led. They won the first half of the game, and that Michigan won the second half. Thus, it was a draw.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to matter much to Ohio State fans. And,
no.
We know how short their tolerance level can be with this. I imagine Ryan Day was a lot more popular last Thursday than he is today.
He was a lot more popular at about 1:20 p.m. on Saturday than he was at 3:15 on Saturday because people left that game in droves, many of them, to send guys like me messages about how embarrassed they were and, blah, 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 worst thing ever for their life. Now, I didn't tell somebody to spend $1,600 on a ticket, you know what I mean? But he was – Could have run for governor of Ohio and Michigan at 1:15 on Saturday and been left off the stage at 3:30 when he went to give his stump speech.
Tim, is Ryan Day in any kind of trouble in terms of job security? And if he loses next year to Michigan,
that's two questions at once. You know that,
right? We'll deal with them one at a time. We'll simplify this. Is he in any trouble right now?
You mean with the fans? Yeah. I mean, they want to do it
in terms of somebody wanting to buy him out or someone saying, we can't deal with this.
I think it'd be
need a change.
No, I don't see that.
Okay.
Dude, this season isn't even over, and you're going to get to the next question pretty soon.
Yeah.
But this season isn't even over. And, you know, we saw Alabama. We saw Georgia get beat by Alabama last year and then come back and win the national championship, you know? Yeah. So there could be another chapter to this one. But, no. But next year, I mean, Ohio State hasn't lost two in a row to Michigan since 2000.
Yeah.
And that's a long time. And hasn't lost three in a row to them since, let me think back into my, let's see, 99, 2000. Okay, let's see, 90. 95, 96, 97.
Yeah.
So, you know, next year's a total different animal. But this team, this team won every game by double digits until it lost on Saturday by three touchdowns plus 2 points. So, yeah, he's, you know, not being a smart aleck, sane people aren't going to get rid of Ryan Day today. But a year from now, there will be, you know, it seems like there will be a little bit of a reckoning coming.
Again, this is a what if, but let's say Ohio State wins its last game of the season. It's not in the college football playoff and finishes 12-1 and is ranked in the top five.
Yeah.
And next year goes 12-1 again, but loses to Michigan in Ann Arbor. Will Ryan Day be back for 2024?
I have no. Hey, Jack, I have no idea. I would think he would be. I mean, sanity has to step in to a certain extent. Do they go? Yeah. Do they lose? Do, in that scenario, since you're throwing out all these hypotheticals to me, which make my head hurt.
Yeah.
Do they fall? But do they still play for the Big Ten championship? I mean, is Michigan, you know, when? Lose three games, but salvage its season by beating Ohio State. I mean, there's all kinds of, like, scenarios in there. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, it would be an interesting moment in Ohio State history. Once again, I keep reminding people, though, John Cooper went 2-10-1 against Michigan.
Yeah.
Not 2-3, not 2-5. He went 2-10-1 against Michigan. Jim Harbaugh hadn't beaten Michigan. Hadn't beaten Ohio State until he beat them last year. That was what, 0-5. So
yeah, he's one. He's
I don't know. So I'm not sure that that's cause for getting rid of your coach anymore, like it used to be.
I mentioned earlier that Mel Tucker has a better record against Jim Harbaugh than Ryan Day does, and so a former Buckeye can still get this done. It's not a question.
Where does your show emanate? I'm trying to remember. Where does your show emanate?
State College. No.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about the post game with the flag planting.
Yeah, I didn't even see
the
it.
Middle of the, how'd that go over?
Yeah. Some ex-players got upset. Ex-Ohio State players, you know, got upset about it. It didn't seem to have the same staying power as when Baker Mayfield did it. The problem really is most of the Ohio State fans had gone home. You know, they were there at the stadium, and they were booed. You know, the people who were there booed it. But, I mean, let's say they planted it at the 45 and took a picture. What's the difference? You know what I mean? It's like as I hate to say this because it sounds really smart aleck, but it's very obvious, to the victors – go the spoils, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, we saw it before the game in 1973 when John Hicks, the Ohio State players, charged that M-Go Blue banner, right?
Yeah, the M-Go Blue banner, one of the most sacred pieces of cloth in college football history. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like I said, let's say they planted it at the 45 and took a picture and you could see the block O in the picture. What's the difference?
Yeah. Before the game, Brian Hartline was speaking at the skull session, I guess, that they have, right? Before the game, the band plays their routines, and there's always a coach or someone comes in and talks. And talked about the fans needing to be violent.
Yeah.
What did he mean by that?
I mean, loud, you know, uncontrolled almost in their fervor to keep Michigan from hearing their snap count. I think that's what he meant. Because I don't remember there being many, if any, fights of note in the stands. Violent kind of became the Ohio State word after the Rose Bowl when Ohio State was trailing Utah and Ryan Day urged his team to go out there and just, what the heck, just play violent, get after these guys. You know, and they came back and won that game in ridiculous, dramatic fashion. Right. C.J. Stroud throwing to a guy that you may remember named Jackson Smith and Jigba. And
is he still alive?
Yeah, he is. Matter of fact, I saw his parents in the street because, you know, during that skull session, by the way, I'm doing a pre-game radio show for 2 hours right outside St. John Arena next. And I saw his parents, I think it was his parents, said hi to him anyway, crossing the street there. But, yeah, I don't know what his status is. I think we're going to learn something here by, you know, Sunday afternoon or Monday, whenever the bowl projections come out and whether Ohio State's in the college football playoff or not. Just like with C.J. Stroud, whether C.J. plays in an actual bowl game and not a college football playoff, I think right now is doubtful.
Okay. Just if it were a Rose Bowl game or something like that, it probably would not play.
Well, yeah, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave skipped last year. Yeah.
And Christian McCaffrey before that. Lots of guys have done that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, C.J. Stroud, he had a really pretty good game on Saturday, but not a great game, obviously. I mean, you throw for over 300 yards against that kind of defense, you're doing something right. They ran for more yards than anybody's been running, averaging running on Michigan also, but it wasn't enough because they kicked field goals instead of scoring touchdowns.
Did that game Saturday, Tim, and maybe what happened several hours later in the Los Angeles Coliseum, cost C.J. Stroud the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Do you? You vote on the trophy, don't you?
Yeah, I'm the state chairperson here. Have been since 1986. But
why aren't you doing some voice impersonation and going, Jack? Do you think I'd call C.J. Stroud? You're the whatever. And then just answer it. I've been voting on it, you know, voting in that since 1984. And, I'm not going to reveal my vote because we're not supposed to do that, right? Or
that's right.
State
that's
chairs.
Correct. No, you're not allowed to do that. Don't do that.
As Red Foreman would say, you state chairs kick us in the, you know what? You know, you remember Red Foreman from that 70s show?
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, because Caleb Williams had another – are you kidding me kind of game, you know? CJ's had a ridiculous 2 years, but he's going to have a ridiculous 2 years that in which he did not play for a Big Ten championship and did not beat Michigan. And we'll see if he gets to play for the, you know, for a college football playoff championship. But I would, you know, odds makers are usually pretty right on stuff like this. And the oddsmakers say Caleb Williams is now by far the favorite. And I would think CJ, I would think Max Duggan from TCU is right there, at least in second place.
Yeah, and I think the trophy, Tim, has become more associated with teams that are in the playoff. Before, you could have someone who had a great year and maybe their team was 7-4 or whatever.
You mean like Ed Marinaro? Go ahead, man.
Yeah, lots of those kinds of things where the team didn't win a national championship, but it was considered an individual award. Now it's tied to that. And for example, you talk about Max Duggan at TCU, and he's a terrific player.
Yes.
But people aren't looking at what's happening with Michael Penix Jr. out there. He's leading the nation in passing by a long way in terms of yards, and some of the other guys too.
Yeah.
Maybe on the West Coast.
But Jack,
We say that.
Jack, it's not a stat contest. You know that too. And the thing about it is where I give this legitimacy. Now, there have been a couple of examples of a quarterback winning the Heisman Trophy where he wasn't even the MVP on his team, in my opinion. I'm not going to get into like names, but but Michael Penix Jr. Look at Washington with and without him, and with when he's on and not on his game. But he hasn't been just that. He's been that difference maker when he's been on his game.
I know how bad Washington was a year ago. one of the worst teams in the country.
Yeah,
and now,
I agree.
They are with him, they're top 10, top 8, whatever. You know,
right.
He has been the difference. But in terms of Ohio State, Tim, I can't tell you how I'm going to vote, obviously, but I can tell you that Ohio State has another player who might find his way onto my ballot because I think he is the best in the country at his position and maybe the most impressive individual from start to finish.
You talking about the deep snapper?
I'm not.
No, I know. You're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., who Urban Meyer agrees with you. Urban, he thinks he is the best football player in the country.
Yeah, and that's what the award is supposed to be.
He might have to be on my ballot, too, but I'm not giving anything away because I don't want my state chair to kick me in the But, no, you're exactly right, bud. I mean, too many people – you know, it's just like Tommy Eichenberg not making a finalist list for the Butkus Award. That's a joke.
Tremendous.
And you know that there are a lot of people that are that get their vote on these kind of things. You look at the preseason All-American teams and the postseason – and then also the individual awards, and it's amazing how similar they are because a lot of people are really lazy or not really watching. And, you know, I don't know how you weed out those kind of ballots, you know. But maybe we need some poll watchers. but it is amazing how that works, and I think people sometimes get robbed in that regard. I think Tommy Eichenberg's had about as good a year as any linebacker in the country. Without a doubt.
I don't know anybody better.
Yeah,
I've watched Jack Campbell. He's really good.
Yeah.
I've watched Will Anderson. He was better a year ago than he is now.
Exactly.
You know, Eichenberg is right there. But speaking of Tommy Eichenberg, I want to talk to you about two plays in this game. In the third quarter, when Michigan had taken a four-point lead, 24-20, and Ohio State suffers a head-scratching series of penalties. And what, they have first and 35 or something like that?
First and 35 from, like, their 27 or something,
I still don't know what caused the headbutt.
Yeah, nobody does.
And then they made up a little bit of that ground, and C.J. Stroud really wanted to go for it. He's imploring Ryan Day, no, don't send the punt team on. We're going to get this, and even if we don't, you know, the Michigan get the ball in its own territory, you wind up with a 21-yard punt.
Yeah.
But they had worked on a fake punt. And if you break that play down, someone did that on a website.
Yep.
And Tommy Rob Eichenberg, Holden. Yeah, exactly. And he is leading the guy through. I think the guy would have scored. And for some reason, the snapper snaps it to the punter who doesn't expect to get the ball. He's already executing a fake. It's amazing he leaned back and caught it and then didn't get it blocked.
Well, I think if you remember the sequence of events, they were going to run that on the first time when they were running out there to punt, and the punter mishandled the snap, but got called for an illegal snap, if I remember correctly. And so he moved it back 5 yards, and they kept it on. We got a story about that at LettermanRow.com right now. You can read, and they kept the fake on because everything was setting up exactly what they wanted it.
Yeah,
and everybody got the word, the green light, whatever word they used to signal it. You know, green, except the deep snapper who had just screwed up the 5 seconds earlier, and he snapped it to the punter. And the rest is history. The rest is the game history. It was amazing the punter got the ball off, though. It could have almost been blocked. But Mitch Rossi, the guy we think was supposed to get the snap, up back, guys plays tight end, but mainly plays a blocking back and occasionally gets to carry a ball, was supposed to get the direct snap. And it didn't. Went right to the punter. And there was nobody. I think there was one Michigan defender left to the left of center after this happened. And like you said,
Eichenberg
Mitch
would have blown him up.
Mitch Rossi could have probably run to the restroom in the closed ends of the stadium without being touched.
Yeah.
But you know what? It didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
And that's alternative history. That's alternative history. You know what I mean? I mean. What if all those Japanese planes had crashed? You know, after they left the carrier deck at Pearl Harbor, it never would have happened, but it did. And that's what you live with. But it was that kind of day. Let me put it this way: it was that kind of second half for the Buckeyes.
Well, in the state of Ohio, there are people who might compare the second half to Pearl Harbor. I would stop before I do that. But
yeah, of course. I mean, we're not even being funny there. We're just talking about from an impact situation. Bottom line is, as I explained in the story on Sunday, the Michigan had five scoring plays that added up to more than 350 yards. I said, you know, they call them explosives, but they're really incendiaries because they just started burning down the place. I mean, it was when you go all the way for a touchdown with explosives, it's in a different realm now. I mean, that's how do you make that up? And then, you know, that's why Michigan didn't run as much as it had up until Donovan Edwards goes 75. And then goes 85 and for touchdowns, you know.
Right.
And there's their running game.
Yeah, they'd had 92 yards other than those two plays.
Yeah,
but those two plays still count, and they changed the impression of Ohio State for a lot of people. How do you think this thing's going to shake out tomorrow night?
That's interesting. Let me ask you this: if you're on the College Football Playoff Committee, because you and I, I think, have the game. We have the background to where we could be invited to be on that August committee. Because we've seen a lot of football. We've paid attention.
Yeah. I would retire to do it.
My opinion, Michigan now has the most impressive win in the country so far this year. And it's 12-0.
Right.
And Michigan would be number one. I don't know how Michigan isn't number one in a legit situation because – Georgia beating Georgia Tech, who cares, you know? Seriously. Yeah. So now, what happens in your...
I look at what Georgia did to Tennessee, but that was a home game. As you say, Michigan doing this in Columbus makes it the best win of the year.
Well, I think by far. I mean,
just look at the Michigan schedule. That's my only problem, Tim, I think their schedule has been poor. And other than Ohio State and Penn State, I don't think they've beaten a good team.
Yeah, but look at Tennessee's schedule before it did beat Alabama, for example, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just right on down the line, we're talking about who's playing the best at this moment. The team that you said was the number two team in the country in your rankings last week just got beat 45-23 by this team, the third-place team. How does that third-place team now become the number one team?
But I think if you look at 1 week, there's no question Michigan was the best team last weekend. The weekend before...
Well, that's what they're supposed to be judging
Michigan,
it on.
Yeah, I mean, it was 19-17. Michigan won on a walk-off field goal after two calls gave Michigan an opportunity to get that. There was a missed pick play, blatant, and then there was a catch which was helped by the ground. Either one of those could have or should have been reversed, and it wouldn't have detracted from Michigan making the playoff if they played the way they did in Ohio Stadium. But, a week ago, they're very, very, very fortunate to beat an Illinois team that didn't win the West.
Yeah, and, Tennessee or Georgia escaped on that same weekend 16-6 against Kentucky. And Georgia's escapes Missouri, and then Georgia has one of the more competitive games it's had all year. Was brought to it by whom? Kent State of Action. Kent State took Georgia into the fourth quarter. Are you kidding me? So there is no. I guess my point is there is no super duper can't be beaten team out there. And then, but my point is after all of that happened a week ago. You determined in Florida that Michigan was still number three in the country. Ohio State was number two, and then Michigan beat Ohio State by three touchdowns in its home at its home stadium. How did it not become your number one team? I mean, meanwhile Georgia, beats Georgia Tech, big whoopee. Georgia Tech's looking for a head coach, or they already hire one.
Yeah, I think there are data points, and some people look at it and say, "How are you playing right now?" Other people say, let's take a look at the body of work. And I still, Michigan, with the schedule it played, you know, Georgia opened the season with a 49-3 win over Oregon, right?
Yeah.
To me, that's a really impressive win, too.
Sure. But,
you know, that was a long time ago. We're really happy that Tim May.
By the way, Oregon got beat by Oregon State this past weekend.
Yeah.
And number three, they were elevating LSU. I think LSU was, what, number six last week going into this past weekend? But based on the way they're playing now, not the way they were playing before.
Well, some conferences, the Pac-12 and to some degree the SEC, have cannibalized themselves the way the Big Ten West did. The teams in the Big Ten East have been above that fray. So they were perfect that way.
But they got beat by Florida, LSU got beat by Texas A&M.
That's
one of the underachieving teams in modern history.
Yeah, you're right. Last question for you, Tim. We appreciate you joining us. You sound like some Buckeye fans Saturday in terms of not feeling well, but
I
appreciate
you. Physically, I do not physically feel well right now, but I'm trying to get over it. Go ahead now.
All right. Regardless of who's one and who's two, I'm not sure how much that matters other than pride and who you get to play. But
right.
I'm not sure you wouldn't rather play TCU than, say, a USC or someone else. There is a chance that TCU could lose to Kansas State. And there is certainly a chance that USC could lose to Utah. It's already done that once.
Yeah, exactly.
If those two things happen and Ohio State and Alabama or Alabama and Ohio State get into the playoff, how would you like to see Ohio State, Michigan 2 and Alabama, Georgia as the semifinals?
Well, I mean, strange things have happened this football season, as you well know.
Yeah.
Number two, if Ohio State is up number four, it would play, you know, depending on how they rank them. Because if you got to figure if Georgia wins the SEC championship game, they're probably still going to be the number one team.
Yeah.
So you'd have the committee would have to say, "Oh, this is just the way it shook out." But they would not want conference opponents playing each other in the semifinals. So you'd have to think they would have Georgia playing Ohio State and Michigan playing Alabama. I could live with that. Couldn't you? I could live with that. And what if it's though? Let me ask you this. This is the question you really need to be answering. Because are two upsets going to happen this weekend? That's hard to see. But if there's one team gets beat, USC gets beat.
Yep.
Do you take Ohio State or Alabama?
Well, you don't want to hear my answer, and I've been a big
Ohio State
guy all year. Well, I would take Alabama, and I'll tell you why.
They're all.
I know
Alabama
the no two loss team has ever gotten in, but they lost two road games. I think road games. When you lose in the last play of the game, are very different than home losses when your fans leave with 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, but they lost two games, and then there were two games against an average to mediocre Texas team where they could have been beaten.
But they went on the road to play that game, and there are a lot of people would never do that.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Well, they're going to be playing in the same conference. They're going to have to get real used to that.
Have to this year.
And then they almost lost at home. Texas A&M has the ball or whatever, the 5-yard line, 3-yard line, the last play of the game. And
I saw Ohio State struggle with Maryland. I saw it get outgamed by Northwestern. I mean,
no,
you can pick at every one of
game.
These games.
Ohio State won every game this year by triple by double digits.
Yeah. But it was outgained by Penn State and Northwestern, too.
Well, but they still, in the fourth quarter, came back and took care of business like a few teams can.
That's why they have the committee, Tim. If you and I are on the committee, we'll have some spirited discussions on this.
Well, absolutely. But those two long touchdown runs by Donovan Edwards kind of changed everything as far as the perception.
I just
hope people look past the numbers a little bit. You know?
Yeah. And if the score had been 31-23, I think that the narrative would be totally different.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you know what? You still gave up 160 yards of rushing touchdowns to Donovan Edwards when the game was probably already over.
Yeah. All right, Tim. I know that if Ohio State goes to the Rose Bowl, you will be there even if C.J. Stroud is not.
You don't think Penn State – you don't think they'll take Penn State to the Rose Bowl?
Where would Ohio State go if they don't get in?
Go to another one of those games. Because, I mean, they went to the Rose Bowl last year, had trouble getting real fervor built for it among the fan base, et cetera. And I would think the Rose Bowl might look for some new blood there, Penn State versus, like, Washington or something. That's what I would think.
Mm. I think that they're going to take isn't that all contractually spelled out?
Yeah, no, I mean, the way I understand it, the committee makes the matchups, except for the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl gets to pick its matchup if its teams, if its primary teams are still available. You know what I mean? I mean, it gets to pick its matchup from the 12 highest ranked teams or whatever, and it's kind of a special dispensation to the Rose Bowl. So there's some conjecture on whether they want to take Ohio State 2 years in a row coming off losses to Michigan.
So you're saying that we could have Ohio State and Alabama if they don't get in.
Yeah.
And where would they meet?
It could be the Sugar Bowl.
Sugar Bowl.
Good old-fashioned Sugar Bowl. Could be the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
Could be the Orange Bowl. So, you know, that would be interesting. Question then,
well, when
is,
Purdue beats Michigan and they're in the Rose Bowl, then we'll have to shake it up, right?
Yeah, isn't that funny? Because, dude, we're putting a lot of cards before the horses in this stampede of a season, that's for sure.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Hope you feel better and enjoy the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks for ruining my nap. See you later, Jack.